this part of the beauty of the Tao. Understanding cannot happen without some background. So I am going to give you some important insights. You cannot be frail in your understanding. If you are frail in your understanding, you will miss. Most people do not understand many things about the Tao, about life itself. My students do not understand. They hear the words and they try to adapt and adopt what is being taught here through the Tao. But they miss. They sorely miss. And so to them, it is nothing more than something they have to analyze, or they have to accept as a philosophy. But I am not teaching a philosophy here. Lhotse is not teaching philosophy to us. No. He is teaching us the order, the sequence, the disposition, the succession of how life works. We are arrogant and at the same time very frail and fragile. When we are told we are wrong, we have a great deal of difficulty with that. We take it as a personal insult. So it becomes more and more difficult for us to understand what it is that makes the world go round. How did we get here? I want to read you something from the Tao before we begin this, because this is going to be a turning point in your life. If you listen to this discourse as just one more discourse, one more thing you have to know or remember, blah, blah, you will miss. Please listen. Try to understand beyond your intellect. Something wonderful existed before heaven and earth were manifest. It is silent. It is sacred. It alone never changes. It acts, yet no actions accrue to it. It embraces all things with love, but asks nothing for itself. What name do I give this beautiful oneness, this one thing, he says? I shall call it the Tao, and glory in its power. This is a beautiful teaching. My students, bless their hearts, are attendees. They attend to doing such things as workshops and retreats. Many people write me and say, I would love to come, but it's too late. I understand what they mean. They waited too long. Most never come. I've never had someone, after many years of listening to me and working on what I am teaching them, be able to come and be with me. And I can tell you why. It may be true for you, even if you do attend, because there is an element that is missing that Lhotse talks about here. It is love. My students have no love in their heart. They have emotionality in their emotions. And they think their human heart is what it's all about. But the human heart is nothing but love. a ploy. A ploy of the ego. It is about the self-preservation of the ego. It is not about the humility of the heart. The true heart, the real heart. That is what's missing. They don't understand what they're supposed to be doing in a practice. You and I need to fall in love with our soul. This can only be done through the authentic heart. We miss because we add so much to our life through the drama of the human heart. The reason you cannot understand these things, the reason you forget them very quickly, is not because you're stupid, but because you have no love. There is no love in your life. It isn't about finding a person as the object of your affections. You just have no interest in love. Lhotse gives us the order, the sequence, the arrangement, the disposition, the system of how life works. Here it is. The way gave birth to one. One gave birth to two. Two gave birth to three. Three gave birth to all things. This is how we manifested. This is how we came into existence in this lifetime. The way gave birth to one. So this is the entrance we have to this earthly life. The way gave birth to one. You and I exist. This is how we came into existence. We are not anything more in this existence than a creature. We enter into a body. The fact that we have a sense of existence then brings us into, well, what is that existence? How did it formulate? How did it give form? And it gave form through karma. We have existed as many other things in this universe. How we handled those things, how we lived in those things, became the birth to the one. Our existence. In that existence, there was the form of the formless. My form came into this world in the beginning as mere existence, as fodder, as it were, to live in this world. I am the fodder. The fodder of all sorts of mischief that I propagated in past lives. I am irritating in those past lives, but irritating in the sense of living for the sake of my survival. I am diverse in how that all happened, as are you. But we came into existence as existence itself in the beginning. And rather than applying ourselves to love, we applied ourselves to the form we found ourselves in. In this form, we congregated with other forms and came to conclusions about our life, conclusions about our form as our life. So the way gave birth to existence, and then existence from there gave birth to the two, which is number two, the form of the Gregory, the form of what he would go through all throughout his many lifetime experiences, living, dying, living, dying, killing, being reborn, killing and being reborn, the many things we have done, we miss. We miss the totality of our life because in all of this, all that matters is our form. How do I stay alive? Stay alive for what reason? It isn't love. We are not interested in the universal blessing of love. The sacredness, as Lhotse talks about it, it is a sacredness. It cannot even be talked about. Even in this discourse, I do disjustice to the whole thing. My words, they are a sham. They do not allow you to truly understand. You have to listen to what is not being said as much as what seems to be said. And when you look at it from that point of view, the words are merely cards set up between silences. These cards are things I write my life upon, but they're only my opinion. They are only my brief understanding, and I'll tell you where it comes from. When we are not interested in love because we are afraid of it, we subject ourselves to the collective unconscious. And this becomes the love of our life. In this whole deal that we get involved in, a mind is formed, a literal mindedness, based on the conjectures of sensibilities, the sensibilities of logic and reason, which deny us the ability to awaken to love. So love is never something that we put into our life as the means of our breath, our very existence. It is not love we are interested in. It is in longevity. It is in what we would call prosperity. We miss. The sanctity of our life is no more than what our biology can offer. And this makes it very difficult for us to even hear the words I'm teaching you right now. They're not relevant to your desires, your impulses. Tuang Tse was an interesting man. He was a disciple of Lhotse, and he did many interesting things with his life. When he was young, he had a master, and he studied with that master for many, many years. But he never answered a koan that would have helped him free his mind. The konans were things that masters use to help the student release themselves from the literal-mindedness of the human brain. He had been there for many, many years with this Zen master and decided that he was done. He quit, like all people do who have no sense of anything sacred. Just throw it away like it doesn't really matter, which is another thing that returns them back to the collective unconscious and adds to the collective unconscious, both in them and in the world. Just one more person whose energy has now run amok. Anyway, he walked over to the master unannounced and told him that he was done. I quit. I'm off. The master looked at him, was not surprised nor disappointed. He nodded, and the monk went away. He gathered a few of his belongings, thought to himself that he had probably wasted his whole life trying to realize the meaning of a koan. And he went and lived not far from the ashram. After a few months, he was sweeping the courtyard of the temple where he did his meditation. He built a little temple, and it was very sweet. It was a bamboo fence, and it was very, very nice. It had many flowers in it. He started looking at his atmosphere, thinking that it was more important than his inner fear, his fears that lived within him. So while he was sweeping, he struck a pebble. It shot across to the bamboo fence and made a sharp sound, very unexpected. And in that moment, it surprised him. It broke something in him, the sound, the sharpness of it, the suddenness of it. All of a sudden, something arose in him. He ascended within himself for no particular reason, and the answer to his koans started to unravel. He dropped the broom and ran back to the monastery, which was about a mile away. And there he found the master waiting for him. Not a word was said between the two. He came back. This is a miracle. Most people cannot go back. They cannot admit they were wrong. Why? Because they had no love in them, like my students have no love. Survival, the need for happiness, this is all that matters. Let me read this to you again. Something wonderful existed before heaven and earth manifested. It is silent. It is sacred. It alone never changes. It acts, yet no actions accrue to it. It embraces all things with love. But but it asks nothing of itself. What name do I give this nameless one? I shall call it the Tao. And glory in its presence, in its power, in its goodness. There are many things about this world and the form we take that are inherent to hatred. Let's meditate together, you and I. Let's just sit with our existence. Beyond our form, beyond our body. Let's just sit with our existence. What is the existence that is the form?